Good morning, one and all. It is my joy to share with you the Word of God this morning. And I will continue my message on the bread of life. Number two, that is previously I spoken about this topic, and now I will continue. Let me revise a little bit of what was spoken in my last sermon. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ performed the miracles of five loaves and two fish for more than 5,000 people to eat. 5,000 men, but more than 5,000 people to eat. And after that, the next day, the people had in mind, wanted to make Jesus Christ to be king with an objective that if he is king, everything is provided. You see? That is the mentality of the people. And so the Lord Jesus Christ knew. He knew what's in the hearts of men. The next day, he sent his disciple over to the other side of the country, of the seaside. That is Capernaum. And at night, he sent them over. And we know that the disciple met strong storms, waves. And the Lord Jesus went there to join them, walking on the water, on the sea, to join them. And thereafter, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the disciple. And the next morning, the people went there to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went there to find him, and they found him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gave them the message of the bread of life, telling them what is in their heart, their motive all wrong. You see? And this speaker, after hearing the message, the bread of life, many of them believe. But there's a group of people still do not believe. They are Jewish leaders, especially those who stay in Jerusalem. They are influenced by this Jewish leader. And so that's how I want to continue my message from there on. What happened to these Jewish leaders? All right, let me give you my introduction before the message. Whenever we read or hear of terrible acts upon men, we are reminded of the wickedness of the human heart. The Bible recounts numerous such examples. I can think of Pharaoh and also later on King Herod, how they ordering the murdering of infant boys in order to protect their royal position. I can also think of Jezebel. Jezebel is a queen of King, is a wife of King Ahab. And I can think of her and her cold-blooded destruction of Nabal and subsequently possessions of his vineyard to give to her husband, King Ahab. In other words, let me tell you a short story here. Who is Jezebel and who is King Ahab? King Ahab is a king of Israel. And he found a vineyard just near the palace and he wanted to have it. But according to the law, whichever land that's assigned to you is yours. You have to preserve it throughout the generation. And so he came to Nabal and wanted to buy the land and so forth. Nabal said, cannot. This is a gift from God to our forefathers. We cannot sell. And that's a law. But of course, Nabal was very sad, and when the wife saw it, say, you are the king. How come you have no power to take over the land? And so that's how she plotted a way to kill Nabal, and in the end, took his possession. You see, this cold-blooded way of doing things, wicked heart. In this passage, I can think of the Jewish leader who had made up their minds to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. For what reason? For the truth he had proclaimed. not for other reason, for the truth he had proclaimed. And let us now see how this happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciple that he is the bread of life, he said to them, all right, in John chapter 6, verse 38. John 6, 38, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them. He said, "For I came down from heaven." I came down from heaven. Now, this statement troubled the religious leader because they knew it was a claim of a deity. They thought they knew who Jesus was and where he came from. And therefore, they answered the Lord Jesus Christ in 42, John 6, 42. They said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then," he said, "I came down from heaven?" Now we must know what is in the mind of the Jews. The Jews expected an earthly Messiah, not a heavenly deity. A son of man, not a son of God. A descendant from the King David, not descended from heaven. You see, there's a different thought they have concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no thought that God's Son would come down from heaven to be their Messiah. They expected a great man to come from the line of David to be their Messiah. This is their thought, their expectation concerning the Messiah. So when Jesus, we all know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? And he was brought up in Nazareth. Then later on, he had moved from Nazareth to Capernaum at the beginning of his ministry. Now, it is certain that the Jews knew his whole family. Last time, when you talk about a town, a place is a very small area. Everyone knows each other. You know, you ask the house number, they do not know, but they know the name of the person who stays where and so forth. Even now, you go to Malaysia, the same thing. You just tell them the name of the person, they know where they stay. And this is the same thing. The people knew who Jesus belongs to, the family of Joseph, Mary, and all his siblings. Therefore, they thought they knew who Jesus was. He was truly the son of Joseph. This was what in their mind. Not one who came down from heaven. You see the problem here? Therefore, they were puzzled at Jesus' statement. At the time, Jesus had finished his teaching on the bread of life in the open air, because there are a lot of people, so in the open air. It is likely that they had now moved into a synagogue, a smaller area, to continue the discussion. That means many of them left, but left a few group, a small group of people went to the synagogue to discuss about this matter. The main issue for discussion was his origin. Where did he come from? We notice that five times Jesus used the phrase that he came down from heaven, but they would not accept it. Jesus did not attempt to explain his incarnation because this required a lot of time and this required revelation. Instead, he taught about how a sinner can come to God. And it is through the truth. It is through the truth of the gospel from the word of God. Let's just look John chapter 6, verse 44 and see what it's all about. Here it says, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Now, this is a quotation Jesus quote from the Old Testament. Old Testament prophets, Isaiah 54, verse 13, Jeremiah 31, 33, and so forth. There are quite a few of them. All talk about a person can only come to God through hearing the word of God. No other way. No other way. And so this is what Jesus told the people. All right? Now, it is a clear teaching from the Old Testament prophet that God draws people to the Savior through the teaching and through the preaching of the word of God. So the sinners hears, learns, and comes to the Savior as the Father draw him through the teaching of the Bible. Is it a mystery? Yes, it is a mystery. Is it a blessed reality? Yes, it is. It is true. So when Jesus called himself the bread of life, now remember this, he was not claiming to be exactly like the manna which God gave to the children of Israel in Moses' time. He's not talking about the manna, the physical food. He's not talking about that. The Jews, why did Jesus talk about all these things? You see, the Jews had boasted that their forefathers had eaten manna, and they were looking forward to a messianic reenactment of this experience. They want the Messiah to perform this kind of miracles. They want to eat the food, the manna. We must remember that the manna that their forefathers had eaten, only sustained their physical life. The Israelites who ate it eventually died in the wilderness. It's just for the physical life that God sent manna to the children of Israel. Now, if the Jews in Jesus' day were given manna like those in Moses' day and ate it, it would also sustain them physically for a season. They too would eventually die. You see? But the bread of life that Jesus promised is not the manna that their forefathers ate. The bread of life that Jesus promised is eternal life to whosoever will come and believe in him. And this is stated in John chapter 6, 33 and 35. So as you come and receive Jesus into your heart, he lives within you, and you will live forever. You know why? For he is the bread of life. He is inside you, sustained you to live forever. That's why you have everlasting life. All you have to do is to humble yourself, believe in God's word, what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, and receive this gift of eternal life that he has promised to you. And that's what Jesus told the people. Jesus closed this part of his dialogue by referring to two things. First of all, his flesh, a word that would he would be using more than six times before the dialogue ended. All right, let's look at some of these areas, something here. Verse 51. John 6:51. You read, okay? John chapter 6, verse 51. What did Jesus Christ say? I am. Right now, this is a declaration that he will be giving his life as a sacrifice for the life of the people. I want you to take note of the word for. The word for is very important. The word for in the Greek means on behalf of. On behalf of. This refers to the substitutionary death of Christ. In fact, it is the key doctrine in the Gospel of John. In John's Gospel, he stated that Jesus would die for the world. You know that? John 3 what? John 3:16, right? John 3:16. And 6:51 or so. Jesus Christ will die for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11 and 15. Jesus Christ will die for the nation. John chapter 11, verse 50 to 52. Jesus Christ will die for who? For his friend. You see? That is a key theme in the Gospel of John. So, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about his death. He died on behalf of the people. He died for you. He died for me. That is the message here. And then he says, to give his flesh. What does it mean, to give his flesh? It means that Jesus will give his body as a sacrifice on the cross for the world, so that by his death, he can offer eternal life to whosoever ever come and believe in him. That's the meaning here. We see this very clearly in the verse that the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? How can that be? How can we eat the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ? Terrible, isn't it? And that's what they think. Literally. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Oh, when the Jews hear that, wow, that's terrible. The Jews were shocked by these words of Jesus, and they disputed among themselves, asking, how can this man give us his flesh and his blood for us to drink? Terrible, isn't it? Now, we must understand, what is Jesus talking about? Are we ready to drink his blood and to eat his flesh in order to get the bread of life? Are we going to do that? Not at all. Not at all. This verse is also not referring to the Lord's Supper. Not referring to the Lord, because not happened yet. Not referring to the Lord's Supper at all. Jesus meant that there must be a deep partaking of life. To eat this bread means to assimilate it and make it part of one's life. You make the thing enter the body, and it works, help your body to work well and better. to live better, right? It becomes part and parcel of your life. That's what it means here. So you must understand what it means here. How do we do that? How do we do that? We must live each day depending on Him as the bread of life. That is, Christ must be an integral part of our life. Our life and Christ must be connected all the time. Must be connected all the time. Not on Sunday we connected and weekdays separated. Not that way. It's every day, part of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ used the word bread for a reason, to help them to understand. You see, bread was a staple food for the people in those days. Today, many of us, especially Chinese, must eat rice. Must eat rice. Without rice, they don't feel satisfied. You see? Same thing. Jesus used the word bread to help them to understand, because bread was a staple food for the people of those days. And they could not live without bread. So it is impossible for a Christian to live the Christian life without eating the bread of life, without Christ, that is to say. For Christ is absolutely indispensable in our daily living. You see, each day we have to eat all the time, then we can progress, then we have strength, then we can do a lot of things. And that's the meaning here. How often do we partake of Christ? How often do you eat to live? How often? Sometimes, for me, 3 times a day. Some maybe 4 or 5 times. Some maybe 2 times. But we eat every day, right? Constantly, we eat the bread, we eat the food. And so Christ demands that we be constantly partaking of Him, receiving Him into the system of our body. And that is, He wants us to live out our Christ-like life. Live out a life that truly shows that we are Christian, a consistent life. And so Jesus said in verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." The emphasis, Jesus emphasized the necessity of eating His flesh. And now He adds some more. Not only eating His flesh, now He added drinking His blood. Drinking His blood. Now we come to the second part of the verse. What does the drinking of blood imply? What does it imply? When Jesus speaks of His blood, He refers it as separated from His body. All right, separated from His body. What does that mean? I think you all know. If all your blood flow off from your body, what will happen? What happened? Die, right? Die. Talk about death. He's talking about His death. And so, separate from His body is an indication of His death on the cross. As His death on the cross. What Jesus is saying is that a person must believe and accept the significance of His death on the cross in order to receive eternal life. That is to say, when a person not just believe, a person must truly believe that Jesus Christ died for him on the cross. You see? Without him, his sin will not be able to remove. So that is the significance of the cross. And so that's what it means here. This reception of eternal life is a sure sign. How do we know? Because Jesus Christ said that he will be raised by Jesus on the last day. Verse 53, the last part. 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, what does that mean? Another meaning. To eat his flesh and to drink his blood suggests the mutual indwelling of two persons in each other. The union with each other. And this topic further developed in John chapter 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Alright? How did the branches produce fruit? Except ye abide in the vine. And Jesus Christ said, without me, ye can do nothing. So there must be a true relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize this very clearly because this will help you to understand a lot of things. Without this relationship, just belief is not good enough. It is like a good, like a wonderful meal laying, displaying on the table for you. If you eat, you benefit it. You know what it's all about. You don't eat, you do not know. And so this is the same thing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, He makes it clear, this mutual indwelling speaks of intimacy and dependency, which is made clear in verse 57. All right. I read to you. Jesus says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. All mutual, the relationship is there. Now, our Lord's teaching actually was not difficult to understand. But hard to accept once you understood. Very hard to accept once you understood. You see, the Jewish leader both misunderstood his words and rejected him. They were offended on what he taught on two points. First, they stumble at the fact that he claimed to come down from heaven. He could not accept it. We know the father, we know the mother. How now he said they came down from heaven? He could not accept it. Secondly, they stumble at the idea that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to be saved. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ had explained to them that his language is figurative, is spiritual, not literal. And yet they could not understand. They do not want to accept. Now, if they were to be stumbled by these two matters, let me ask you one question. What then would they do if they saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascend to heaven? They truly saw them ascend up to heaven. Would they should be able to believe in him, right? They should be able to believe in him. But they would not. You know why? According to John chapter 6 verse 64 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that they would not believe. They had made up their mind not to believe. They already settled their mind. No matter what you say, I don't believe, I close my ears. That's it. And that's what happened to the Jewish leader. They already make up their mind. So, my friend, it is not that the gospel is not clear, but it's the person's heart. It's the person who has made up their mind. If a person refuses to believe, no matter what you say, he will not believe. Even if he sees it, also would not want to believe. All the people of the world can be divided into two groups. You all know very well. The first group are those who accept the satisfaction Jesus brings into their life. All right, you believe in Jesus, you have this satisfaction in your life. They are partakers of him. That is, they eat his flesh, they drink his blood in a spiritual sense. My dear, it's not literal. Now, some in this group are more satisfied than others. That means they are not all the same level. You know why? Because they have been eating the bread more consistently. Those who are more satisfied because they have eaten the bread more consistently. That those who are not so satisfied because they are inconsistent in eating the bread. This is the first group. Second group, there are those who know nothing of the satisfaction Christ gives. They know nothing. They know nothing about the joy, the peace that Christ will give it to them. They have never had true inner satisfaction. They know others who have the full satisfaction of life Christ offer, but they are on the outside looking at them. They saw a lot of Christians, you know, they are being blessed, they have joy. Not because they are very rich, but they have peace and yet they have joy. They have seen all these things, but they do not have it. Dear friend, do you have the satisfaction of life Christ gives? This is the first question. We must know one thing. Satisfaction of life does not come through material blessings. Material blessing give you just for a while, for a temporary period only. But that doesn't mean you have that, wow, you are being blessed, you are so happy. Many of us think material blessing is a blessing. Yes, it's a blessing, but for a while only. It comes from your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. You may be poor, you may not have many things that other people have, and yet you have a joy, you can have the peace of mind, and so many things, which many of the rich people do not have. I know of some who are very, very rich, and yet a lot of problems. I know them, I counsel some of them. Why? Because material blessing doesn't bring joy. Only in our relationship with Christ, we will receive joy. So this is something very important. This morning, this is an important message. Do you feel there is a longing within you to grow spiritually, and you are not satisfied with your present spiritual condition? Do you have that kind of feeling? Perhaps some of you may have. I'm a very straightforward pastor. I speak from my heart. In the congregation, there are all kinds of people. There are people who like the church. There are people who don't like the church. They are not satisfied. And they have a lot of reason to give. Good reason. And the main thing they say is not happy, not satisfied. Right? What is actually the problem? Some of them go to other churches, from one church to another church. Huh? from one church to that. Our church, we have so many branches, you know. Not happy with Jurong, go to Pandan, not happy with Pandan, go to Tingyan, you know. Keep rotating. That is not the solution to spiritual problem. What is the main problem? The main problem actually is not so much the church. If your heart is not right, no matter where you go, also not right. The main problem is your relationship with Christ. Understand that. Your relationship with Christ. If your relationship with Christ is right in the proper order, no matter where you are, you still have the blessing. You still have the joy. You still have all the things that God has for you. Church is just a way, a channel to help you to grow. You see. And that is very, very important. We as Christians must know. How can we have this satisfaction in our life? Number one. Commit yourself to Jesus today. Build up your relationship with Him in prayer and in studying of the Word of God. Very important. You examine those who feel not happy, this and that, about these two areas. They all feel. And we know that's very important. That's why you prepare a lot of things for your spiritual growth. We encourage you to read the Bible daily, right? Not just say, but we have books, everything to help you to grow. We have Bible study here. There's so many things to help you. It all depends on you, how you take it. Secondly, in order to build up this mutual relationship with God, it's not just studying the Bible, not just praying. God wants us to worship Him. Come here to worship Him in the right spirit and to serve Him. Serve Him. Must serve from your heart with joy. That is a way God wants you to do to help you to grow spiritually. And if you are doing all these things from the heart to the Lord, not to anyone, not to anyone, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. Material blessing will not give you the kind of joy. They give you a little bit for the time being, and after that, the problem will come in. True satisfaction of life comes from your relationship with Christ. In John chapter 15, you will learn more on this kind of topic, all from the Bible, not from my own ideas. My own words, my own interpretation of the Bible. No, it's from the Word of God. And dearly beloved, that's what we want you to have. We want you to have the true satisfaction of life in Christ. And it only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that today? If you find that you do not have this kind of satisfaction, will you come to Him today? As what I said, study your Bible, prayer, worship the Lord, serve Him. Faithfully, regularly, don't look at the circumstances. Your heart with God, and the Lord will bless you. The blessing, you it's hard to tell how much the Lord will bless. All depends on how you serve the Lord. As you do that, you will find that Jesus is the joy of your living. I can promise that. There are many people who have found this joy of living in Christ because of because they follow what the Lord has said. So may this blessing be yours this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning. We want to thank you for all the blessings that you have showered upon us, that you are the bread of life, and we know that we have to partake the bread of life daily, each day, and becomes part of our life. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you help thy people here. If they are not satisfied in their life, Lord, we pray that their eyes will be opened, will come to thee, will receive thee, and may thou help them that they will have the true satisfaction in life according to thy promise. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.